All right, great to be with you on this Monday morning, and what a terrific Monday morning it is. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. Seth Joyner, an individual who knows what it's like to be part of a team that comes together and improves as things go on. 88 Eagles did, 89 Eagles did, 90 Eagles did, 91 Eagles did. They went from 3-5 to 10 wins. So teams can certainly improve in the course of a season, and individual players can as well. And for more on that, Seth Joyner, who's with us every Monday at this time, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Seth, good morning, bud.
What's happening, man? Hey, James, give me a little more of that flow, man.
A little more Nas?
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit less of me talking over it? Is that the idea?
No. See, this is the good thing about rap like this. Like, I could do a show just like this.
Sure.
Just let the music flow just a little bit more, James.
That's what I'm saying, but let's class it up a bit. I think the Last of the Mohicans theme song is an extra level of historical classiness that you could do the same thing. All right, Jimmy, do you have that bed available?
Yeah, handy. I can get it.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Nas, If I Ruled the World, as Jalen Hurts right now. That's what I'm feeling. Right, Seth?
Oh, for just a bed underneath everything say?
It's amazing, John, how attitudes change from one week to another.
Well, I was being a little tongue in cheeky there.
I get you. I get you. I felt your pain yesterday,
Yeah.
After Jalen almost threw the interception, I put a tweet out, and you know how those things age on Twitter.
I know.
When things go the
Not
other
well.
Way.
No. So, Seth, listen, all right.
It aged the way it should have.
Yeah. Let's small picture to start, then big picture question two. Question one. Let's start with him for a second. Let's just focus on him for the first two questions here. Question one, how did you think he played yesterday?
I think he played an extremely solid game. He made the plays that was there. And for the first time, he took the low-hanging fruit and he took the layups. And this is what I've been saying about this offense all along. Don't go after the big play all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Take what's there, possess the football, and when the opportunities present itself, then you throw the ball down the field.
So it was finding that balance. Like, it is a new offense. These are new concepts. I know that just by the way these coaches talk in press conferences, the big play is the discussion point on both sides of the football. Stop the big play on the defensive side. That's our identity. Make the big play on the offensive side. That's part of our identity. So this is spoken ad nauseum to these players all the time. Big play, big big play, big play. But, we are sort of balancing that now. And Jalen's doing a good job of knowing when to let it fly, when to, take the one-on-one and take a chance, and when to keep it and actually check it down, although we don't see the check downs as much as I'd like. Some of the decisions that he makes does have everything to do with our success, and we don't even know. We don't even realize the decisions that he's making within the run game itself. It all worked in this game, Seth, and I can't imagine a week-to-week plan coming together better than this one did. The problem is, it feels like this is the first time we've seen it really come together. So is it replicable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, first of all, the most impressive thing to me is he looked decisive yesterday for the first time in a very long time.
Totally agree. Sure, no question.
When his foot, that back foot hit the ground, he knew where he wanted to go with the ball. There was no hesitation. He ripped it with great accuracy. And that's a positive step in the right direction, because that begins to tell me that now he's beginning to grasp the offense. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago that, when a quarterback closes his eyes in a passing play, he's got to be able to imaginarily look over the field and be able to tell you where everybody is to an inch of a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When a quarterback gets there, that tells me he understands his playbook much, much better, which allows him to make the most accurate of plays and to play with anticipation. Troy Aikman made the statement a couple of weeks ago that these the Dallas receivers don't run great routes. And it's very hard to play quarterback when your receivers aren't where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And I think we heard Devontae Smith say the same thing yesterday in a different kind of way. He said, life's easier on Jalen when we are where we're supposed to be. So all of these things.
That's interesting. They made other statements, too, during that Dallas Cowboys game about how Dak is now making a point to try to carry out his play fakes after he's handing it off to try to pull, or try to hold the backside of these run plays. You know, these little details, they matter for our team,
Absolutely.
Too, for our offense, too. All these little details make a massive difference.
All right, so, Seth, are you a believer in this team from a high-end standpoint? Like, they are what now? And how far are you ready to go with belief in this squad?
You guys heard me sit right here for, ever since they came out of the bye. And what did I say? Baby steps. And I said, dare the Eagles take their franchise $51 million per year quarterback and turn him into a game manager and rely on Saquon.
And you think they've done that, right?
Well, I think they've balanced things up.
I agree.
And they've gotten away from this, pass first, explosive play mentality just a little bit. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that because there are times to do that. There's times for opportunities. There's going to be times, like what I like to do, now that there's enough games, in the books, is now I like to go to the rankings before each game each week. And what I want to know, where does each defense rank? Okay. Where do the Cincinnati Bengals rank? Okay. They were averaging giving up 136 yards per game coming into yesterday's game.
You're saying rushing?
Rushing defense.
Yeah.
I like keeping track of this too, Seth. Mm-hmm. I think that this stat does matter. It just like it team should, mindset or something.
John, it shouldn't matter from a game planning standpoint, okay? But at the other end of the spectrum, they rank 21st versus the pass, giving up 217 yards per game. So when I'm watching this kind of stuff, I'm looking for the tells that tells me, okay, where should the Eagles be attacking today? So if a team's not very good against the run, then we should attack that weakness. If they're not very good against the pass, don't get me wrong, I like to see the Eagles run the ball, and I think the run balances things up for them. And even though the last two games they've been a little out of whack, but I think that's a smart thing to do in order to bring Jalen back to where we need to have him. But there are also going to be games, dare I say, where they're going to be the opponent is going to be weaker versus the pass than they are the run, and you're going to have to attack that. So that means you might wind up throwing the ball quite a bit more than you run it. Now, that doesn't mean you completely abandon the run because you got to make a defense play you honest. But the lion's share of your reps that day are going to go towards attacking what they're weakest at.
Nick keeps reminding us of that sort of thing. He does talk about, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes to do to win that game that week. And it really is like a week-to-week puzzle that they did a really good job of this week. And Jalen did a really good job of preparing this week.
It was almost,
he had a
John, it was
good
almost,
understanding.
It was almost like a switch went off in his head. It was the most amazing thing. Like, in the first quarter, I tweeted, it is the most frustrating thing in the world to watch this football team. Cincinnati goes up 7. The Eagles go on their nice little drive the first series of the game. They make one bad play call that loses them 2 yards, and then they get a penalty, which puts them in a position where they got to take a field goal. Then they come back the next series, and I think they ran 7 plays, and they had to punt. And Jalen almost throws an interception on the sideline to Kenneth Gainwell. And I'm like, I'm about ready to pull what little hair I got left out of my head.
Let me ask you a question before you keep going. At that moment, because I saw your tweet, and I want to read it to everyone listening. Here's what Seth tweeted at that time. I've defended Jalen Hurts as far as I can go, hoping he'd figure it out. That ball to Gainwell leads me to believe he had no clue that since he was in man coverage, if he thought he could go there. #very concerned. Let me ask you this question. At that moment, Was that the most down you had ever been on Jalen Hurts, big picture?
No, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So you were really down. Okay, so then things completely changed in the next three quarters.
Well, why were you so worked up about that?
Because
it all led up to it. I mean, it was all the last recent weeks also, though, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's a cumulative thing.
Totally.
And when people go in on social media, oh, this didn't live well. Well, you got to remember, it's like past trauma. We watched this offense struggle, and we watched our quarterback leading up into that game, the last, 20 games, you know, have a turnover every single darn game. And then he puts that ball in harm's way, and the first drive doesn't work out because, you know, you throw a bad ball, and I get it, the play was called, so you got to go with the play call. You lose 2 yards, then you turn around and you have a penalty that stalls out. And then that, you know, we had seen that picture how many times? Now, don't get it confused, Joe. You know, I sit here and I argue with you till the cows come home.
I know.
I've been a supporter of Jalen Hurts forever, and I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. But when you see them making these decisions and making mistakes like that, you know, it begins to, like, remind you of things that happened in the past. And it's like, oh, wow, here we go again. So, you know, people got to kind of understand sometimes when you're watching the game and you're emotionally invested in this team, well, guess what? Tweets like that are going to come out.
Sure.
And everybody's like, oh, you know, that didn't age well. I'm like, it aged as it should. You know, I'm happy to see him turn it around, but that still was not a good decision.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I think, and like I said,
but it was made trickier. That decision was made trickier on that play by pre-snap motion. You know, the linebacker was surprising to Jalen's eyesight because of the pre-snap motion, because of the way the defense played it. I thought at the time maybe that was not what they expected. Maybe that's not the way the defense reacted in practice when that motion went.
The only way that you make that throw that quickly, because his read was to the right and Gainwell was to the left, the only way that you make that throw almost without even looking over there is that you think that they're in zone.
You predetermine.
And that linebacker is off of the man.
Sure.
Okay? But because of his read.
Well, I think he didn't think to look. I think it was like a reaction.
Now you understand my frustration.
But Seth's point is know it beforehand.
Well, listen, I think it's a bad play. It's a bad play, and he's going to say, okay, I know that's a bad play. I'm going to not make that mistake the next time we run that play.
That's fine.
And to me, I'm good with that. It sucks that he missed it, though.
It's not the fact that he missed it, it's the fact that he threw it.
Because
if you scan to the right and all of a sudden you come back and you throw that ball to the left without looking first, that tells me that you might not have known that they were in man coverage and that guy was hugged up to that running back that close. But, you know, listen, that being said, Joe, from that point on, it was almost like something clicked in his mind, in his head, and he just turned into a whole different quarterback, a whole different animal.
No question.
It was phenomenal to watch.
Phenomenal. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Seth Joyner with us in studio for an hour. Joe in Mayfair right now. What's going on, Joe?
Well, I hope you're eating your crow today, Mr. DeCamera. You know, I'm one of the biggest Hurts fans. And yesterday's second half offense to me was not the same playbook as they've been running. I haven't seen the Eagles offense where receivers were open 3 to 5 yards with nobody around them. Almost every Jalen completion, there was space for the receiver to move after he caught the football where there weren't tight windows. They ran Barkley left. They ran him right. They ran him off tackle. They ran him between the tackles. The play that changed my mind in the fourth quarter, up by 10, and Jahlen Dotson ran behind Hurts in a motion play, ran to the right, and Hurts drifted to the right, and the flow of the offense was going to the right, and I haven't seen the Eagles run any misdirection. And Cal Kvecchia runs a drag route about 3 to 5 yards behind the defensive line.
Mark Calcaterra was in this game?
Calcaterra?
Calcaterra?
Calcaterra.
Holy mackerel.
It's like, what?
And then, but Gainwell ran a deep route that took the linebackers deep, and Calcaterra ran a drag route, and Hurts hit him with a nice, easy 3 to 5 yard pass that got him 10 yards when they're up by 10 in the fourth quarter. I'm waiting for this team to run plays to allow to create space. And when you have an offense where the defense doesn't know if you're running the football, if you're going left, if you're going right, are you going deep down the field? The Bengals' defense in the second half was off balance because the Eagles' playbook, to me, opened up.
I agree.
To where they weren't running the same exact crap that they ran all the time. And the great thing about what I saw yesterday, and Seth, you were exactly right, Jalen's confidence to throw the football quicker is when he knows the receiver's not going to be in an area where it's a tight window. If the window's not completely tight, he'll let it loose. And yesterday, for some reason in the second half, I don't remember one catch that an Eagles receiver made that there was a defender on top of them. And when you have an offense that is clicking, that is doing multiple things on every play where you don't know where they're coming from, a defense can't anticipate what's happening, which gives receivers extra time to run a route. It gives your quarterback more time to look around the field and go through your reads.
All right, Joe, we got you. A lot of stuff in there. We got you. All right, let's keep it rolling here. Let's get to Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Seth, real fast. Brandon Graham, I'm watching this game. This guy looks like he's 25 years old playing out there. Like, he was blocking run lanes to create the tackles for everybody else, and then he's making the tackles. Like, this guy looks great.
Steve, I think we need to rip Seth for retiring in his mid-30s. I mean, what was wrong with Seth for not playing until he was 40? No, I don't. I'm just talking out my ass. When did you play until Seth?
33. They didn't let me take, you know, only play 55 to 60% of the plays. If they would have done that, maybe I would have stayed in the game 16, 17, 18 years.
But hey Joe, Seth played real football. They let you hit people back then.
You know what to tell me, man. I'm well aware. You know? I saw all his games.
It all started on Friday with that hammer pounding that set the tone for the weekend. So,
I don't know if we need the word pounding in there, but yeah.
Yeah, that was aggressive.
I won.
That victory on Friday set the tone. And Seth, I don't know if you know this or not, but you've been awarded the stylish dresser at WIP on Friday. I picked Ruben, and everybody told me you're the best dresser.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Steve, it's true. Seth, no one's even close. Like, we determined on Friday, when you dress up, you're the best-looking dresser. When you dress down, you're the best-looking dresser.
I don't know about that, but, you know, I come from an era where, you know, you dressed up. People don't like to dress up anymore.
Devontae Smith dresses up.
Oh, yes,
have you seen, like...
You see that outfit yesterday?
He's got really nice suits. I don't know anything about suits. I can tell he's really got some good
suits. You know, listen, this isn't shade to anyone, but I think your style says a lot about who you are and how you think about yourself. You know, like, there are times...
Maybe. So does that mean his style allows him to go, like, one catch for minus 2 yards and not get worked up about it?
And listen...
The confidence?
The thing about... Oh my gosh, you know, last week we talked about confidence. Did you see the video somebody cut up and put up on social media?
Not sure.
It's pretty awesome. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Last week we talked about confidence, and I think that, you know, when you're fashion forward and you are confident about yourself and how you dress, like somebody put on our chat yesterday during the post-game show, man, Seth's been wearing a lot of pink. Well, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, wow.
My grandmother.
That is intentional, sure.
My grandmother and my mom dealt with that, you know. So, of course, you know, I'm gonna pay homage to that. But I like pink. So what's the problem?
Of course.
You know.
I mean, you can pull pink off. DeCamera, he does
more of a salmon thing.
Yeah. And it's not as effective. It's not as effective as Joe goes salmon.
Listen, Seth, you know the deal. They just like to pick on me.
I know.
Guys like Seth and me, you know, guys that are ballers, we get it. 215.
But to John, but to your point, you know, it takes confidence to wear some of the things that I wear. And I don't really care what anybody says.
Yeah.
You know, I wear what I wear for me. Sometimes my wife would be like, I don't really like that. I'm like, well, today I'm wearing this for me. I ain't wearing it for you.
I got to tell you something real quick, though. I actually noticed something about you the last few weeks. I think you care a lot about what people say on social media, more than you should. I'm noticing that with your commentary.
You know what it is, Joe?
They're bugging you. I know they're getting to you a little bit.
No, you know what it is? This is what it is. I am fine with debate. And I'm okay in this era of cancellation and everything else.
Yep.
I'm okay with you having a difference of opinion. Okay? We can differ and have a difference of opinion, you know, and agree to disagree and then, you know, go have a drink afterwards.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Or, you know, I'll pound you up, you pound me up, we go our own way. But what I don't do well with is the disrespect.
I know.
The disrespect pisses me off. And that's the thing that makes me go in on people and go back at people because, you know, you like to hide behind your little 280 characters, you know. But the things that you say to me on social media, if I was standing in front of you,
of course,
you would never say it to my face.
Of course.
So if you wouldn't say it to my face, then don't say it to me via social media.
But here's my advice.
Because the one thing I don't do,
right.
The one thing I don't do is I'm never the first person to disrespect somebody else.
I know.
When you come to me, you come at me, I'm coming back at you, and I'm going to finish you because I can cut you up 100 different ways with words.
Look, it's two different approaches. You and I approach it very different. I'm just telling you, like, I would just offer, consider just not, who cares what that idiot thinks? That's just me. But, you know, you have a different approach, and I get it. Well, imagine a 5-2 team after the consternation that existed in the first 2 months of this season. It's really incredible. And if Saquon had caught the ball, 6-1. Well, we'll see ultimately if they're of the ilk of what a 5-2 team normally is. But hopefully they rule the world, and hopefully they play in February this year. But look, it's been a nice surge by the Eagles. John called it a 2-2. He said, don't discount the possibility that they start rattling off wins. Not necessarily because the Eagles are good, but because those opponents aren't. And so far, three for three.
Stop it, man.
Stop what? I'm complimenting John.
Stop with the opponents aren't, man.
Yeah, two of them stunk.
No, come on.
Well, listen. I mean, two of them are really
listen,
bad.
There's not a human being walking in this city right now, okay, that could go to the Giants or the Browns and make the roster, okay?
Oh, you could.
I'm just saying.
Okay? Other than Seth Joyner.
There's 1,696 players in the National Football
League. You
think
you can make it right now?
No, he cannot make the team. But Seth, you got to admit, Seth, the Giants and the Browns combined.
Seth might be able to make the Giants with my mind.
I can make some plays with my mind.
No, like
for
you could be like the coach on the field guy who doesn't like you're in there on
games too
like
fast,
specific
John.
Plays.
Games too fast.
I don't know.
And my reaction time is
you
like,
think you like you think you could hang in there and take on
not one play. I always talk about it, you know. Coach, put me in for – I can give you one or two plays.
Yeah. But you couldn't do one?
When you're actually – you know what
you
did
don't
it?
Have the toughness
no,
to
listen,
take on one
that's
block?
That's not the point. You know what did it for me?
I think you do.
I was at the Eagles Hall of Fame induction a couple of years ago. And, you know, they have you on the sideline with like 4 or 5 minutes left before the half is over for the halftime ceremonies. And I'm standing on the sideline watching the game. I'm like, gosh, they look so fast, man.
They look fast,
and
but
so
they're also
big.
Half the size of the linebackers of your.
Doesn't matter,
like,
though.
That's the thing. You're 6'3", 260.
John, the game is so freaking fast. And when your eyes aren't used
to. Well, those little fast guys will try to block you, and you'll blow them up.
I'll tell you.
Talking me into it, John. You're crazy.
Just get out there and hit people.
Here's how I'll sum it up, and I mean no disrespect to Dr. J by saying this, who I adore. What Doc used to do 45, 50 years ago, there's probably 100 guys that do that now.
True.
And that's no disrespect. I mean, Ja Morant and the Greek Freak jump higher and further than Doc, and he jumped further than anybody 50 years ago.
Right.
Now it's commonplace. So to your point, the athleticism of the human body and race just continues to evolve in a way. It's incredible what's out there right now.
It is. It's just the mind hasn't caught up, in my opinion. Like when I watch football now, I'm so frustrated sometimes.
Mm.
And it's hard for me to watch a complete game because I'm like running it back. I'm like, what the hell are you thinking right there?
Yeah.
Like these rub routes.
Yeah.
I was talking about it, you know, last night. The rub routes.
Lack of attention to detail across the board on both sides of the ball.
You know what's blown my mind with the rub route? So the first guy goes down to pick And 9 times out of 10, he gets called for a pick. Why don't you just hook him up right there? If you hook him up and he turns towards the quarterback and puts his hands up, they can never call it.
Does the same effect. Yeah.
All you got to do is hook him up. He's not getting a pass anyway. Okay? The objective is
sounds
to pick.
Sounds almost too easy.
The objective is to pick the inside cornerback so that your inside receiver can release to the flat. And these coaches have not figured it out. It's like he doesn't have to run a route. Run him right at the inside corner, turn him towards the quarterback, and set him down and hook him up right there.
But did you see the 49ers run this
last
night?
That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. And I'm like, why even make it an issue? It's like you guys get paid to do this. And I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? What are you thinking when you – like when I draw it up, like now – like, I draw up a lot of plays and a lot of defenses because there's some stuff that we ran that they don't run anymore. Like, when people get into – when teams get into these tight – these, you know, 3-4 tight end situations, like, we had, like, 2 or 3 defenses for that. We would take one of the cornerbacks out, put an extra linebacker in. We could get an under. We could get an over. We can get an even front.
You go bare, too, against that.
And we had a myriad of different ways to take care of that, which when I'm looking at it now – they got 2 extra tight ends in the game. You only got 4 linemen in the game. Your linebackers, your corner standing out there, he don't want none of that heat whatsoever. And they're running the ball down your throat, and you don't have a remedy for it until you get down on the goal line or you're in short yardage and you send the extra lineman in. And I'm like, it's so simple. It's so easy to fix. Just take that cornerback out and put an extra linebacker in, put him on the tight end, and he's got to dominate that tight end and carry that tight end wherever he goes in a passing situation. Now your linebackers can – you got at least one linebacker.
Who's the linebacker who's good at that? Who's the linebacker that you could do that with? Just say go dominate this tight end man-to-man.
Right now? Well, it's hard now because you don't have a lot of – you don't have a lot of true outside linebacker type guys. Like Nolan Smith, we saw, you know – And I think I might have had just about enough of this defense that Vic Fangio is running where he's got Nolan Smith out on a wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
but that
yeah,
skill set.
You don't want that to happen. Clearly, when they I think you gotta hand it to the Bengals for motioning.
Oh, it was awesome.
Jamar Chase.
It was awesomely designed.
It was.
They clearly did not intend to get Nolan Smith covering him.
But I'll say this, okay? And I know you want to move on, but I'll say this really quick. If they're fundamentally sound, that play has no basis to succeed whatsoever. Because that 5 technique to that side, he knows that Nolan's got pass coverage if they pass. Get his ass outside so that Joe Burrow can't keep sprinting to the sideline and redirecting traffic. Because you got pressure coming from the inside. But it's the integrity of defenses that drives me crazy. Stop letting these quarterbacks get out of the pocket because you want to sink your defensive end on that side inside the tight end, and then you expect for him to be able to contain the football. If that's the point, you got to express to him the importance of getting his ass outside. Stuff like that drives me insane. Drives me insane.
I would love for you
that's
to coach. I really would, Seth. All right, let's go to OG Wade right now. Wade, Seth's frustrated though they're 5-2. What's going on, buddy?
And that's okay because that's my boy, and I respect Seth. But I'm calling because there's some, you know, I have some crow on a tray that I finished preparing.
Sure.
And this past Friday, I called up and I let y'all know about Jalen. When you said that in 2 years, Jalen would not even be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
2020. Let's get this accurate. 2020, the start of the 2027 season. Just to make sure, because 2 years can be construed as 26. Or if you're talking about the start of, 2027, I said Friday, I did not think you'd be a starting quarterback in pro football.
You stand on that, right?
I will stand on that, but I'm encouraged with what he did yesterday.
What?
I will stand on that.
Let me move. Hold on.
But he was phenomenal yesterday.
I know I don't got much time, so let me move on to the next thing.
Okay.
I also said, and this is to Rhea Hughes and the people and you, Joe.
Uh-oh.
When I said that Jalen Hurts' job is difficult because he has a lot of mouths to feed and keep them guys,
you know, all happy. Everybody laughed at me.
He said
but didn't Jalen Hurts just say on that in that interview that it's difficult when you have a lot of mouths to feed?
And I said it's not a bad thing to have all those stars on your team.
Yeah, wait. It sounded like the way you you presented it
was totally different.
Like an excuse for him. Like, and it's a problem. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I didn't say that. I said it's difficult. First of all, it's never going to be a problem to a quarterback as great as Jalen Hurts. So we can get
look. It's not that difficult. It's a lot easier than playing with Jalen Reagor and some other guy like Jalen Reagor and some other guy you don't even remember the guy's name anymore. I mean, that's difficult. Come on, Wade.
I got to take you to task before you go.
Go for it, Seth.
To Joe.
Go for it.
You believed it by 2027.
That was a little over the top.
Well, listen. So let me
answer me the question. I'll be on the stand. You go for it.
I'm going to make this statement.
Okay.
And this will forever make you eat your words.
Well, we'll say, but go ahead.
No. It'll forever make you eat your words.
Okay.
If Geno Smith and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield can resurrect their careers.
Good points.
Okay. You're insane if you think that Jalen Hurts is going to be out of the league in a couple of years.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say out of the league.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I said not a starter.
Not a starter.
Yeah.
You're insane if you believe that.
Well,
because he's got all the intangibles that those guys never had. And you know what those guys still do? From time to time, they have these great runs. But they always revert to, when John, what's the old saying? When you're under pressure, you always revert to that which you're most familiar with.
Mm.
Each and every one of those guys, they will have these great runs, and all of a sudden, they turn back into who they are for two or three games. Sam Darnold lit it up.
Well, how do you know? How do you know that's? Listen, I'm happy today. I want to be very clear.
No.
But how do you know what Jalen did yesterday isn't the aberration?
Because he's
and what
done
he's done
it
for
before,
the last
Joe.
No, because, I know, but for the last 12 months, he didn't play good football.
That's fine, though.
I mean, that's a much bigger sample size.
He
than
hasn't
one
played.
Game.
If you want to go back to last year, at the end of last year, okay, it's broader than just Jalen, and this is the problem.
Of course, it is
because we want to put the quarterback in this box. Without understanding that he's a microcosm, the main organism of everything that we see when we watch a game, okay? But everything is dependent on everything else around him being right, starting with the coach, okay? So last year, the collapse last year, it wasn't just Jalen. It was everything. It was the coach. It was the offensive coordinator. It's a myriad of things that causes a quarterback to be successful or not successful. Okay, this is where we get it all screwed up. So now you fast forward to this year. He's got a new voice in his ear, and Kellen Moore and his quarterback coach. He's got somewhat of a new system that he's trying to run. And dare I say, he's got Nick Sirianni the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season delving into what's going on with the offense, so on and so forth. So you can imagine the confusion that's going on in this kid's head. But the one thing he has is he has moxie. That
with an offense that he said was 95% new terminology, working with that, like a completely Joe, new language.
Absolutely.
Me and Seth are taking this outside after the show.
Hey, listen.
I'll see you out there, Joyner.
We ain't putting on no boxing gloves.
24th and Market Street. For people
knuckle.
In the area.
Straight Fight Club.
24th and Market Street after the show, Joyner versus the Hammer. By the way, I'll say this, Counselor. Say this, because I hope you're right, Seth. You know that, but I will say this. Your first quarter tweet, or second quarter tweet, it may have been, hashtag highly concerned. I mean, that's where I'm not going to go too far today and be like, he's completely out of the woods. I don't buy that. I buy that he played a great game. I'm thrilled that he played a great game. But I saw a lot stacking up over a number of weeks and said he wasn't playing very good at all.
You're 100% correct. I never felt like he was in the woods to begin with. I thought it was a process, and I sat right here and told you guys, baby steps. You know, everybody wants to, they're back where they need to be. No, it's still baby steps, okay? And the baby steps, you know, contain him being able to manage the game until they get his confidence sky high again. You know, the caller before OG Wade was talking about, you know, he didn't have any tight windows to throw in. That's not true. I watched him throw some balls in some tight windows yesterday. I watched him, you know, for the first time you saw Eagles wide receivers sitting down in holes in defenses.
Yeah.
You saw A.J. Brown, instead of running a go route, and DeFonte Smith, instead of running a go route every single time, pushing up, running 10 to 15-yard comeback routes, okay? Those are going to pay dividends down the road, because when Jalen begins to get up to speed again and get his confidence sky high again, those comeback routes are going to turn into double moves. Boom, touchdown. Those are the explosive plays that you get. But, you know, when I talk about trying to, you know, comparing him to those three guys that I compared him to, come on. If those guys can find their footing after all the years that they've been in the league and all the failing that they've been doing, I have supreme confidence that Jalen Hurts will be elite once again.
All right, a tremendous step forward yesterday. Let's hear how it sounded, as we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
Third and 22, and we give it up. We have not stopped them on third down one time. You know what, Vic Fangio? Take your defense and shove it where the sun don't shine.
Oh, no.
Fangio's defense held that fine Cincinnati offense to 10 points after that disastrous first quarter drive. He's the man. I don't know who that was.
That's great.
I want all you losers who picked the Eagles to lose to call in this week, because you're losers. Go Birds.
Wow.
34-17. Now what are you going to say, huh?
I'll tell you. Do it again.
Look, I was a doubter. I'm a Jalen doubter. If that team shows up every week like you just did against the Bengals, that's a Super Bowl team. You go on the road, AFC opponent, that's a Super Bowl team.
Eagles.
Well, good. And so your Eagles chant was about the worst chant I've ever heard.
That
I think
was really terrible.
Why did he do it like that?
Even Devin's
like real staccato
was better than that horrendous attempt.
Can I hear that again?
Yeah, this is Devin a couple months ago. We asked her for an Eagles chant. Here's how it started.
The stars have aligned. Finally, I had a good feeling about this game. I had a good feeling. Finally, the balance, the run, the pass, the young guy stepping up. Oh, my gosh. That was a football game. That is the Eagles that we know and we love. Keep going forward. Go, Eagles!
I love that. That's a good way to end it. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, John, I've got the Twitter poll question of the day results in front of me here. They're brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevy. Check out Armin's incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. More impressive side of the ball yesterday. Offense or defense? How do people vote?
Oh, man. Offense is going to win with 75%.
Offense wins with 60%. You disagree with that?
I disagree.
They were both excellent, though.
They sure
were. Listen, they made the Bengals turn it over on downs once. They got an interception, and they forced a fumble.
Yeah.
When was the last time we've seen that trifecta?
Yeah.
Didn't they have both the takeaways in the fourth quarter, too? Like, they were...
I don't know, but it was at critical times. Yeah, great,
really
great job, Seth. Always awesome having you in studio, man.
You got it, man.
They're gonna be 6-2 next week.
Absolutely.
Seltzer, I'm predicting it now. They're gonna win.
Hold on, are you guys really gonna fight?
Yeah, 24th and Market, right after the show.
Please do.
High 10, not high noon. High 10. 10 o'clock, we'll be down there, and ladies and gentlemen, someone come by and help me.
I'm throwing Joe. I'm throwing Joe in the schuylkill after I beat him down.
And I'm going to run to 30th Street, get on a train, and leave town forever. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.